Okay, well, tonight I'm going to share about words and the importance of words. And, you know, the words of God make up the Word of God, right? And it's what God uses to tell us, to instruct us, to guide us, to help us. That's what God chose to communicate to us. You can go to 2 Peter. We're going to start there. And of course, we're concerned with not only the words, but how to allow the word to speak to us, to interpret itself. We're concerned with accuracy and that we understand correctly what God wants us to know, to understand. So in 1 Peter, or 2 Peter rather, did I say 1 Peter? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation or one's own interpretation. So I'm not allowed to interpret it. You're not allowed to interpret it. Nobody's allowed to interpret it. But rather, and if that's the case, then there has to be an alternative, and that would be that the word interprets itself, right? And then it says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. So the prophecy, and prophecy we know means not just telling the future, but it's a declaration. Prophecy is anything that God would give to be written down or to be spoken, right? That would be prophecy. You know, if you study the word, we know that there were men that are called prophets that never said anything about the future. Was Abraham? Abraham, I think, is one of the guys.
He was a prophet.
He was a prophet. He never talked about the future.
God told him about the future.
But he never spoke about it or wrote it down. Okay? So, the Word of God is made up of the words of God. And they're very important. And God says a lot about words and about speaking. About the Word, in His Word. Words define God. God's words define God. They frame God. They tell us about God. That's how God let us know who He was, what He's like, His attributes, how much He loves us. It's kind of interesting. God used a medium in the senses realm to relate to us the spiritual. He used something that was finite and limited to describe what is unlimited and infinite. He used something that was natural in the natural realm to tell us about the supernatural. Now that's pretty incredible when you think about it. It's pretty incredible. But that's what God did. We, many times, are limited in our abilities to communicate. God is unlimited in His ability to communicate. And we know that His Word is really the main thing that tells us about God. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 22. You know, it's God's Word, basically, that gives us the most information and the best information and the most accurate information about God. It's not feelings, it's not experiences, it's not lots of things. God didn't give us a picture book. You know, sometimes people say, well, a picture's worth 1,000 words. It may be, but it is not as exact. It is not as precise. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 17, it says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. That's pretty cool. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. Isn't that great? Now, this was Solomon writing, but he was writing by revelation. He was one of those holy men who spake as he was moved by the Holy Spirit. He wrote down, and what he wrote down was what God wanted him to write down. He said, you know, pay attention to the words. You know, these are the words of truth. And, you know, that's a big deal, because so many people, so many times, talk about truth, don't they? And they misuse words, and they misunderstand truth. How many times do you see inscribed on some building, like a school or a library, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free? You know, and that's a true statement if it's in the context of which it was given, which was by Jesus Christ, and he was speaking about the truth of God and God's word, not just about knowledge, not just about, you know, something you would learn in a library or a college or a school, but he was talking about God, a knowledge of God, the truth about God. Let's go to John chapter 1, Gospel of John. You know, it's interesting because if we're really going to communicate, we have to speak that words that people understand, right? And God certainly did that with us. He spoke words, or he gave words that we were to understand. And those words have specific meanings. And we have to understand them in light of how God gave them, in the context, how they were given, to whom he was speaking to at the time, and so on and so forth, to understand those words properly. In chapter 1 of John, it says, "For the law was given to Moses," or by Moses. Moses wrote down the law, but who told him what to write? God did. God gave him the words to write. And he wrote them down in words again, right? But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And how did Jesus Christ declare God? With words. Right? With words. Let's go to Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Fourth book of the Bible. Chapter 12. This is really a cool little section here. This is when Moses is leading the people in the wilderness, and there's a little rebellion by Aaron and Miriam. And in verse 5 it says, "And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words."
Sorry, what chapter are
you in? Oh, chapter 12?
Oh.
Sorry, did I not tell you that?
You did.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. Chapter 12, verse 5. That's okay. I could miss it. I could forget. "And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now," what?
My words.
"My words. If there be a prophet among you," a prophet is one who is a man of God or a woman of God and receives information from God, right? Usually in the form of words, but not always. "I, the Lord, will make known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream." Okay? So sometimes God will give somebody a vision, or he will speak to them in a dream, like Daniel had dreams, and other guys. Then he says in verse 7, my servant Moses is not so. However, I'm not going to speak to Moses like that. I don't give him visions and dreams. Who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Because they had spoken against him. They had rebelled. But he spoke to Moses straight up, mouth to mouth, face, which is figurative because, again, no man has seen God at any time. He saw a similitude of God, but God spoke to him face to face. How did he speak to him? With words. With words. You know, it's pretty cool. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. It says, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Just like that. That's what it says. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God did what?
He said.
Yeah, he spoke. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Right? That's what he did. Let's see. Let's go down to verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. So again, he said, let there be a firmament. You know, God spoke, and the universe came into being. Pretty crazy. He spoke, and the stars were set in order. He spoke, and there was vegetation, grass, and trees. He spoke, and there were fish, and birds, and animals, and, like it says, creeping things. And he spoke, and there was man. God spoke these things into being. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, we don't have to go there, but it says, the world was framed by the words of God. It was framed by the words of God. This all came into being because of the words of God. God's word is powerful. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 4. What does Jesus Christ say about these words? It's always good to know what Jesus Christ said. Chapter 4 of Matthew. Then was verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was in afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written. When something is written, what's written down?
Words.
Words. Yeah, words. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How important was that to Jesus Christ? Pretty important. And that's what it says. It says we are to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know, we're to do our best to live according to God's word. We're to do our best every word. Pretty amazing. Let's go to 1 Timothy. You know, sometimes we get used to hearing things, or maybe we get a little lackadaisical, you know? You know, when we pray, we're supposed to pray with thanksgiving, you know? So we say the word, but do we really think about what thanksgiving means? Are we really thankful? you know? It's important. Those words are important. When we speak God's word, we need to be aware of what we're speaking, what we're saying. Chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, verse 14, it says, "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." You know, it says here that it's a faithful saying. That means it's reliable. It means it's trustworthy. That means that you can count on it. It's faithful. It won't let you down. You know, people let you down. I might let you down. But God's word will never let us down. It's a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation. You know, the word "all" is a little word, but it's a big deal. All acceptation. You know, we're to accept all of it, and with everything we have, we're to accept it. We're to be take it into our hearts. It's to be part of us. It's His word. It's the words that created the universe. It's a word of power and might. Let's go to Titus. 2 Timothy, Titus, chapter 1. This is an instruction to Titus, who was a minister. God giving him instruction by way of Paul. And in verse 9 it says, one of the things he was supposed to do, "holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers." Here he is instructed to hold fast to that faithful word. We're to hold fast to God's word. And one of the reasons is, you know, as we've been taught, we're to hold fast to what we've been taught, that by doctrine, by sound doctrine, by whole words, by whole teaching, by which means correct teaching, right teaching, we can exhort and convince gainsayers, people that are doubters, people that don't get it or doubt that the word of God is true. And the way we do it is by sound doctrine. And the way we have sound doctrine is we hold fast to the faithful word. Okay, let's go to 1 Kings. Here's a great verse having to do with the faithfulness and reliability of God's word. 1 Kings chapter 8. I love this verse. It's a great verse. And this has to do, and this came to pass, or was spoken by Solomon after they had built the temple. And after they finished the temple, it had a grand opening. Like, you know, whenever you build a new building, you have to have a grand opening, ribbon cutting and all that stuff. And they did even more than that. Their grand opening was beyond anything we could imagine. And they did all kinds of sacrifices, and they sang, and they had feasts. And Solomon dedicated the temple, and he did a prayer. And verse 56 is part of that prayer. And it says, "Blessed be the Lord, that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised." There's that word "all" again. God gave his people rest according to all that he promised. And if you go back and read, he promised a lot. Then it says, "There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant." Not one word failed. Not one. Isn't that something? Every single word to God and from God is important. You know, it's all important. It's God's word. God's word is faithful. It's perfect. Because God's perfect. Let's go to Psalm 12. We'll hang out in Psalms for a little while. You could spend probably the next week looking up things about words and speaking and all that stuff in Psalms, because it's everywhere. All of Psalm 119, every verse has something to do with the Word of God, right? Okay, so Psalm 12 and verse 6. It says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times." So, you know how, what they do with metals, they melt them when they get an ore. Dig it out of the ground, and they melt it, and then they scoop off the impurities. You know, they sift them out, I guess. And then they do it again and again until it's pure. If you've ever seen a bar of silver or gold, you know, they stamp on it how pure it is. And if you buy, I've had some silver and it says 99.9% pure. That's what they say. That's the claim they make. They're not allowed to claim it's any purer than that. But God's word says that the words of the Lord, the words of Jehovah, are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times, which means it's absolutely pure. Pure as pure can possibly be. Let's go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. And words are cool. I mean, you know, you just kind of go through the dictionary sometimes and you just see all these crazy words and you want to impress people, you know, you come up with a strange word like contumacious. Remember that one? Or stentorious. Stentorious means speak loud and clearly, like I hope I'm doing. So, you know, words communicate. And God's words are pure words. They're put together perfectly. They're put together by God. And they communicate to us the spiritual things of life. They communicate to us the supernatural. They communicate to us things that should be beyond our comprehension. And yet God makes it comprehensible for us. What a cool God. Okay, verse 7. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." I always read that wrong, and then I think, that's really wrong. You know, if you said making the wise simple, that would be backwards. But it makes wise the simple. If you're not too smart, God's word can make you wise. If you're already wise, it'll make you wiser. "The statutes of the Lord are right," or are righteous, "rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." It does a lot of stuff. There's one place where it talks about the word and it gives you rest and peace. You know? "The fear of the Lord," or great respect or awe for the Lord, "is clean," or cleansing, "enduring the forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." And the judgments of the Lord are made up of words, aren't they? The statutes, the commandments, and the judgments. They're words. They're the words of God, though, and they're righteous altogether. They're always right. You know, sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong. The judgments of men, sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. You know, that's one of the reasons we have appeals courts and a Supreme Court, because the judgments of men are not always right. So we try to make it as best we can. But even at that, it's imperfect. But God's judgments are righteous altogether, and they're true altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. You know, you ever think about, did you ever read about the gold rush? Or see a movie about the gold rush? I watched one last year. It was one called Klondike. It was on the Discovery Channel. And it was a true story about these two guys that went to the Klondike for the gold rush. And what they went through to get there to get gold. It was insane. And thousands of people would die just going. They wouldn't even get there. Just making the trip. That's what people do for gold. That's what people do when they think something's valuable. God's word is more valuable than gold. And we have it. It's here, readily available to us all the time. Which was not true throughout history. You know, years ago, it wasn't available at all. Well, it was available, but it was hard. So, more to be desired than fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward. You know, we're warned, we're admonished, we're, you know, this is good, this is bad. And by keeping the words of God, there's great reward. Who can understand the errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And here at the end, the psalm here, the psalmist, which is David, he says, and I want my words to be right with you, God. You know, I want my words to be right with you. That's a pretty cool prayer. That's a pretty good desire to have in your heart, that your words to him are the right words that he wants to hear. Pretty amazing. Let's go to Psalm 107 real quick. Psalm 107. Get a chance sometime, read the whole thing. But tonight we're going to read one verse, because it's a great verse. Psalm 107, verse 20, and it's speaking of the time when Israel was in the wilderness, and it says, he, referring to God, sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He didn't send an ambulance. He didn't send a fire truck. He didn't send an army. He didn't send the SWAT team. He sent his word. Isn't that cool? Sent his word. Sent his word and healed them. And delivered them from their destructions. You know, how did Jesus Christ heal people most times? He spoke, right? The guy with the withered arm, he said, lift thine arm. Lift thy hand. Reach forth. The guy that had that was lame, he said, pick up thy bed and walk. Thy sins are forgiven thee. He healed with the word, right? He healed with God's words. Peter and John at the gate of the temple with the lame man, he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Words. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. God's words. God's word is the power of God when it's believed. Chapter 1 of Romans, verse 16. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is the words concerning, the good news concerning Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's the power of God to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's the power of salvation. It's the power to save. It's the power to deliver. It's a power to bring things to pass when we believe it. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Getting a workout finding books of the Bible. Chapter 4 of Hebrews, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Word of God is quick and powerful and sharp. You know, they used to say that you can't separate the joints or the bone and the marrow with this, even surgically. That they kind of just go together. They just grow into each other. It's even hard to separate. To clean off bones, like. You know, if you want to get a dog a bone, but you don't want all the grit and the grease and the gristle, and you have to boil it to get the meat off of it, right? The fat off of it. But it says that the word of God is so sharp it can divide the joints and marrow, and is a discerner. It's a discerner. It's the critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Pretty great. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 13. So God's word is a healing word. It's a word of comfort and consolation. It's a word of deliverance. It's a critic of life. It's a word of reconciliation. It's a faithful word. It's all those things. It's the word of life. In chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 13, it says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." It's an effectual word. It works. It brings things about when you believe. So we are to believe God's word. We're to live God's word, and we're to speak God's word. And just as God's word defines him, just as God's word teaches us about him, our words define us. And we're going to go to Ephesians, and we're just going to go through a little bit about Ephesians to see what it says to us about words and our relation to words and what we should do with words. And I think you'll be pretty surprised at how much it shows up in just a short section. So we're going to start in chapter 4 and verse 23. It says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." So one of the things that we're supposed to do in our speaking is we're to put away lying, and we're to speak the truth. It's a good idea. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, if you love God, that's what you're supposed to do. Let's look at verse 15. "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." We're to speak the truth in love that we may grow up in him in all things. So again, we're to speak the truth, and we're to speak it in love. Verse 29 of chapter 4. it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, I guess there's communications other than words that come out of our mouth at times. Like, but mostly it's words. And sometimes those words are corrupt. They're putrid. They're rotten. That's what the word corrupt means. Well, we're to be careful with our words. So it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Our words are to minister grace unto people when they hear our words. They're to edify. They're to build up. So many times, words tear down. Our words are never to tear down. Our words are to build up, to edify, to minister grace. How great that is. Chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, imitators of God. Well, we just looked at the words of God and how he speaks. And so, you know, we're to live by every word of God. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking. I don't know exactly what foolish talking is, but I know that we do a lot of foolish talking. And it says we're not to talk foolishly. Nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. We're to be thankful in our speech. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. We're to be wary of empty words or vain words, stupid stuff. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. You don't partake in the vain words or the foolish talking. Verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. It's even a shame to speak of those things. Isn't that something? We're not to even speak them. Should never pass our lips. Verse 19. Speaking to yourselves, well, it says in verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we give thanks? With words. Can be the words of men or the words of angels, but it's still words, isn't it? And chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Well, we pray with words. And supplications are made with words, because supplications are requests. So we're to make requests on behalf of one another. And we're to pray for one another. And then it says in verse 19, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You know, that was what Paul wanted us, or the believers, to pray for him. But we can pray for that for each other too. That we have the opportunity to open our mouths boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. You know, it all has to do with words. Words are incredible. You know, it's the word that changed the world. It's the word. It's words that made the world. And let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 5. The last thing we're going to finish up with. And this is a pretty cool section. We're going to start in verse 22. And this is looking back 40 years before when they were in Exodus, the book of Exodus, when they had just come out of Israel and Moses went up on the mountain. And God said, okay, gather all the people together around the mountain, but don't let them come too close. And I, God, will speak to them personally, out loud. So verse 22, it says, these words, the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, of the thick of darkness, with a great voice. And he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass when he heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And ye said, behold, the Lord our God hath showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire, and we have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more. Then we shall die. Kind of shook him up. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say. So they say to Moses, Moses, we don't want to die. You go and listen, and if you die, well, that's the way it goes. It's great. Go thou near and hear all that the Lord thy God shall say, and speak that thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we shall hear it and do it. That's what they say. We shall hear it. We shall hear those words, and we shall do it. You know, when they went into the promised land, one of the commandments or one of the things that God told Joshua to do is they made a pile of rocks and then they put plaster on it, or like cement, and they wrote the word of God, the law, into the plaster so that it was readily available for all the people to read it. Yeah. God made his word available to them. Here it says, we will hear it and we will do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when ye spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of the people which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me or respect me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. You know, and that's God's heart and desire even today, that we hear his word and we're willing to do it. That's all he wants. And then it says that it will be well with us, and it will be well with us. It said, you know, we saw in Psalms, if we do his word, we keep his word, there's great reward. When we do his word, we're going to do well. We're going to be blessed. We're going to prosper in life. And it's all about words, but it's all about his words. It's about God's words. And then we make God's words our words. We put them into our life. We live them. We speak them. It's the rule of our life. It's how we guide our life, how we make decisions, how we deal with other people. It's all about God's words living in our life and in our heart. Okay? So, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Sam.